You are listening to Ron Van Dam, the gentle, fast-acting laxative of the podcast world. Don't you feel better already?
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Thank you very much.
Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Welcome to the program, it's the Ron Van Dam Show. Guess who I am? Make yourself comfortable, there's a $500 minimum on all drinks. I'll take it from here. You sit down. Yeah, I mean, if I wasn't stuck and sheltered, I would buy you a drink. But I am, so I'm not going to. And that was a one-time offer. That's it. I got to tell you, I do miss... stupid people talking to me in my face, bad breath, the whole bit. I miss all of that. Actually, I don't. It's horrible, but it's not so bad. What's the difference between shelter at home and imprisonment? I guess one, you're sentenced into a jail cell, and the other, you're sentenced into your home? Ugh. The other difference is, if you're in the shower and the soap drops on the floor, you're the only one really that would pick it up. About that one. Welcome to the program. Sit back, relax. I'll take it from here. You've done enough work. I will entertain you, inform you, and hell, I'm not even going to do that. Starting today, by the way, there's a $500 minimum on all drinks. So how are you doing? Are you feeling all right? I say this at the top of every show because it's absolutely true. I am the only talk show host that really cares about how you're doing. Other people will say, hey, how you doing? They don't care. They don't. That's just something you say. I'm sick of things that's just something you say. I hate that. That's like buying a greeting card in a store for somebody. And proclaiming your love. You didn't write that. You just signed your name to somebody else's crap. Greeting cards suck, man. Every time I get a greeting card from somebody like happy birthday or whatever, and then they sign it. They don't even bother saying, and I mean everything that somebody else wrote in this card. Love, Bobby, or whatever the case may. Don't just sign the card like it's the Magna Carta or the Declaration of Independence. You don't just sign it. There's no feeling in that. There's no nothing. And I know how much you paid for the greeting card because it's stamped on the back of every single card. It's imprinted on the back. How much you spent. You better spend over $5 at least on a greeting card if all you're going to do is just sign your name to it. What a pathetic thing. It's the same with these online greeting cards. They'll send you go to your email and there's like a happy birthday, Ron, and you click on it and it's just it's a cartoon that says doesn't even have your name in it. And then after that, it's this card was sent by Betty. I mean, it's wow. The thought, I could cry. I could cry right now. Not crying because I'm so emotional with what you just sent me. I'm crying because you are such a pathetic idiot for even sending me something so cold. No, Ron, I sent it to you to make you happy, to make you laugh. No, you sent it to me because it was the easiest thing you could do without any involvement whatsoever. Don't ever give me a greeting card and just sign your name. That's an insult. It's like, wow, you took the time to sign your name on a piece of paper. I am so touched by that. No one's ever done that before, giving me a card and then sign their name on the bottom. Oh my God, I can't believe. Oh, you are so fantastic. Oh my God. Sometimes it'll have a little kick to it. Instead of just someone signing their name, they'll go love, comma, and then they sign a name. They actually wrote the four-letter word love and put a comma after it and signed their name. Oh my God, your feelings are so deep and so sincere. If you're going to do a greeting card, at least write some stuff in it. Usually the left flap is completely left open, and you can write something down and say, you know, you are the best person I've ever known. You've helped me through my entire life. You're handsome. You're wonderful. Your personality exceeds all expectations of any human being from this planet. You are wonderful. I can't imagine anybody being even close to your substantial incredibleness. Love, Betty. I don't know who Betty is. I've never dated anybody named Betty. I think I've known a Betty or two, but I kept my distance. So I'm just using that name just quickly. It's the only thing I come up with. But my God, don't do the card thing. The card should go with something. It's not, you don't just give somebody a card. You got to give it like here's a wonderful gift and a card that goes with it. Not just a card. That's awful. Facebook confuses me. It always has. I'm spending a little more time on Facebook, and by what I mean by a little more time is I never went on Facebook at all for over a year. I hate Facebook. I hate everything it stands for. I hate the creators of Facebook. I think it was put together to gawk and grade women, and now it's become successful. Now we're gawking and degrading all human beings, so I guess we've moved on to bigger things. But I never liked Facebook. Now with this social thing going on, this great social experiment, now I'm going to Facebook, and I don't even know why. I guess I'm searching for some connection that I don't even really want. On my birthday, all of a sudden, I'm getting greetings from people I don't even know. I've never heard of them. They're from other countries. These are people that apparently all live in Nigeria who tried to scam me at one point in my life, and now they're wishing me happy birthday. I tried to take all your money. I tried to scam you. But happy birthday anyway. Seriously. Come on. Happy birthday. It's just strange. And nobody really says happy birthday. Actually, that's all they do. You get like 50 messages, and they all say, happy birthday. Have a great day. Oh, wow. That is, again, heartfelt. You didn't even spend any money on me this time. Usually the card is $5. You didn't even do that. You just sent me what they call a greeting. Screw you, happy birthday. That's what the hell's it? But for some reason, it still makes you feel good. Oh, my God. Somebody, a scammer, who tried to scam me in Nigeria, actually has wished me happy birthday. I feel so good about that. I don't know. Oh, no, I don't know. It's like, you know who Sally Field is? Millennials have no idea. She was a flying nun. She was Gidget. She was she dated Burt Reynolds. She was in those stupid Burt Reynolds movies, you know. And she's a wonderful actress. And when she accepted the Academy Award, she won it for some movie role or something. And she says, and she holds a statue up on standing behind a podium looking out about all the other celebrities and nominees. And she holds up the statue and she says, you like me. you really like me. And a lot of people thought that was endearing. I thought it was incredibly pathetic. Someone gives you a statue and you say, you like me, you really like me. God, that's therapy. That's like someone's waiting to analyze you because there's a lot to unpack there. But now I get it, because when it's my birthday and somebody I don't even know wishes me a happy birthday, it's so meaningless, it's not funny. It is so empty and so stupid that it's laughable, yet there's something inside me that is thankful and moves me. It's bizarre. Things that are bizarre and I can't understand them scare the hell out of me, and Facebook is one of them. It's a community of people who don't give a shit about you. It's fantastic. There's your social experiment. It's amazing. It's a faction that actually makes you give out personal information for no reason whatsoever. This is where I was born. These are the places I lived. This is how many children I have. This is how old I am. It's everything but your social security number. And some people probably even include that in the about section. Let me find out about somebody who I don't know who has become my friend. Wow, look at all this information. I could become them. Why, I could stalk this person if I have enough information to stalk them. This is perfect. What are you doing? What are you doing? You know, back before the turn of the century, millennials, it wasn't just cavemen. There were actual people before the century. And if you ask somebody, how many friends do you have? I have two or three really good friends. Friends in total, probably 10. Acquaintances, maybe 20 people I know, like really well, that I speak to on a fairly regular basis. Oh, okay, that's great. And that would be impressive. Now you say to somebody, oh, how many friends do you have? 347. That's all? What do you mean that's all? How can you say that's all? I've never had this many friends in my life who I don't know. Some people on Facebook have thousands and thousands of friends. No, you don't. No, you don't. Chances are, if you have thousands of friends on Facebook, you have no friends. Don't brag about that. That's pathetic. Yes, I have 2,000 friends. Oh, uh-huh. You think you have 2,000 friends because that's the number that shows up. I see. What, do you invite everybody on the planet to be your friend on Facebook and therefore now they are your friend? What? Some guy in the Philippines has your back in case you need help moving? No. That's the definition of a friend. I'm moving on Saturday. I rented a U-Haul. Will you help me move? Oh, God, no. Don't put me to the test now. I've got a flight to Los Angeles Sunday morning at 4 o'clock in the morning. Can you drive me to the airport? The test has been laid upon me. Wow. How do you answer that? Well, of course I'm not going to help you move. No way I'm getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to drive anybody to the airport, much less you. How dare you even ask me? Don't you know anybody else? That would be my immediate response. But then I'm faced with the possibility of not being a good person. It's not that I believe in heaven or hell, but I just kind of figure I should be like somewhat good. So do I swallow it and take them to the airport? Okay, maybe. Do I help them move? No. 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 Did you ever help somebody move before where they rented a U-Haul? Uh-huh. It's awful. And they try to spice it up by saying, hey, after you help me move, we can sit around my apartment and we can have some pizza. And that, you think, is going to make me help you move. Risking the security and physical ability of my back, taking my entire day, making sweat pour into my eyelids, and you're going to reward me with a couple of slices of pizza? Now you're really getting on my nerves. Well, I would help you move. No, you wouldn't. You'd come up with some incredible excuse. Can you help me move on Saturday? I'm trying to give you enough notice. It's Monday, but this coming Saturday I'm moving. I'm renting a U-Haul. Can you help me move? I can't. I think my grandmother's going to die on Saturday morning, so just in case, I really shouldn't commit. Wow, that's a stretch of a bad excuse, but effective. Here's the question. Would you rather lose a friend or help them move or drive them to the airport? My answer, without thinking twice, I didn't need that friend anyway. There's others. Don't put me to the test like that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Those are the two worst things in the world. Why do we waste money on toys for children? Toys for children now cost like hundreds of dollars. Nothing's cheap anymore. Everything's hundreds of dollars. When all children really want is bubble wrap. Yes, not bubble gum. Bubble wrap. That plastic stuff that has little air bubbles in it. And whether you're on cocaine or not, whether you have a smoking habit or not, whether you're an alcoholic or not, you are compelled to start popping those bubbles. It's such a human weird thing, it's not funny. I'm not trying to be funny. I'm trying to educate you. That stuff should be worth a lot of money. Bubble wrap should be like $100 per square foot because it's so engaging. It is, you know, that stupid little wheel that spins around and you put it in your hand, and I don't know even what you call that stupid thing. That was big for a while because it supposedly relieves stress. Stupid. Some guy made a fortune just making a metal thing that spins around between your fingers. Seriously? Did you fall for that one? Bubble wrap. It's been around since Jesus. Yeah, it goes back. It goes back a long time. Kids are fascinated by it. They love it. If you have a whiny kid, give him bubble wrap if you can find it. It's hard to find. Here's what I want to do. We can go into business together, all right? Don't tell anybody else, but here's what we do. We open up a company, and you simply call it Bubble Wrap Is Us. It's like Toys R Us. This is like a play on that. Bubble Wrap Is Us. And all you do is manufacture bubble wrap. Now, somewhere in the country, there is a factory, probably in Dayton, Ohio, that manufactures bubble wrap. There's got to be, because there's such a thing. They use it for packing. But nobody, except for me, has come up with the concept of making it a thing. Just sell the bubble wrap and give it to a child and shut the child up for a change. Parents would give any amount of money right now during this shelter in your brain thing. They would give any amount of money to just give their kids bubble wrap to shut them up for 5 minutes. It would be a gold mine. You want to go in you want to go halfsies? Halfsies? I don't know what that means. We'll split the profits. We got to find a bubble wrap thing, a factory, make a deal with them. And then here's the interesting thing. You ship out the bubble wrap to your customers, but there's nothing in it. It's just bubble wrap. It's the most ironic, stupid thing I ever heard of. Did you receive your bubble wrap? Yes, I did. And it came perfectly packed. Oh, how'd they pack it? They packed it in bubble wrap. It's unbelievable. It's blowing my mind. You want to do this? I'm serious. I'm not kidding you. I am not kidding you. If you want to do the bubble wrap business with me, let's investigate it. You're going to do most of the work because I thought of it. So I don't have to do that much work because I'm not capable. But you do the research. Seriously, give me a call. And if I find that somebody is doing this, I'll sue your pants off. You'll be walking around without any pants for a long time. A long time. You want to do this? Here's what you do. Email me, if you're serious, ronvandamshow@gmail.com. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. You want to go into business? The bubble wrap business, man. There's already factories that make them. You don't even have to make the. You don't even need a prototype. It's already being manufactured somewhere in Dayton, Ohio, or one of those Midwest cities that have factories where we get all our pollution from. It's already being made. You just got to buy up the bubble wrap and ship it out to customers that are drooling for bubble wrap. Can you go in a store and buy bubble wrap? No, you can't. They don't sell it. They might in some of those artsy crafty stores, but nothing on the level of what I'm looking at here. I'm looking out, looking shipping bubble wrap all over the world. I think aliens from other planets would even say, I want some of that bubble wrap, man. Do you ship to Mars? We don't ship to Mars. There's no life on Mars. If that's what you think. Remember that Mars thing? Do you remember that? It was like a couple of years ago or maybe 5 years ago. I've lost track of time at this point. I don't even know what day of the week it is. I think it's Friday or the weekend. I don't even know what it is. These people were going to get on a spaceship on Earth, and they were going to risk their lives and be sent in a spaceship to Mars, and they would colonize Mars, and they would die up there, but they would be like heroes in civilization. Their names would be in every history book. And I'm thinking, I know a lot of people that should be doing that. One of them would be Donald Trump. Donald, let them send you to Mars. You stay there. You can't come back. You have to die there eventually. You can have sex anytime you want on Mars and build your own hotels. No one's going to, you know, stop you from doing that. So go, Don, go. There's a lot of people that I'd like to send to Mars that can't possibly come back. Oh, I've got a list. It's a bucket list of people that I think should be going to Mars permanently. I think that would solve a lot of problems. But back to the bubble wrap. Yeah, not a bad idea, huh? You bet. I'll come up with a name, too. I don't know what I'm going to call it, but I'll come up with a name. Oh, this is an incredible idea. ronvandamshow@gmail.com. We split. I came up with the idea. I'll do the marketing and all that kind of stuff. I'm very good at that. And you do the research and you make the deal with the factories and take care of the shipping. We got it going, man. We'll hire some people. Look, people need jobs. People need jobs. I don't have to go to anybody's home to deliver bubble wrap. I can sell it on Amazon even for a lot of money. Ron, what if other people find that the bubble wrap business as a gift itself is incredible and they start doing bubble wrap too? No, I'll apply for a patent. Yeah. A utilitarian patent and a creative patent and all kinds of stuff. No one else will be able to sell bubble wrap for recreational purposes. You can buy it for packing purposes, but not recreational purposes. And I've got other ideas too. The air that you fill the bubbles with in the bubble wrap, it'll be scented with lavender or a bubble gum bubble wrap, huh? With the smell and scent of bubble gum in the bubble wrap when you burst. Oh, kids are going to love that. Oh, my God. I could put marijuana inside the bubble wrap. So when you burst a bubble, you get a whiff of this. Now, obviously, I'm not going to spend money putting marijuana in bubble wrap. I'm going to use catnip. What the hell's the difference? I think when I was about 16 or 17 years old, I think someone that I knew, I was going to say one of my friends, but I'm not using that term anymore. Someone I knew said, Ron, let's sniff catnip. Let's like put it in our mouth like chewing tobacco and see if we get high. And when I came out of the coma 3 weeks later, I don't remember if I enjoyed it or not. Okay. We have a guest going to join us, and we're going to do so after we take a very short commercial break. And thanks for being here, by the way. You're very special to me. This is about drinking. Did you know that more people are drinking now than ever because there's nothing else to do at home, and it relieves tension? It's socially becoming perhaps a very big problem. I don't mean to make light of it, but at the same time, we have an expert who is going to tell us about that coming up right after this.
Gentlemen, have you ever been in the mood for a nice knish or maybe bagel in the schmear, but you're also in the mood for some exotic dancing? You can't find those in the same place. Until now. I'm Moishe Kaufman, inviting you to come visit us at Moishe's Knish and Strippers, the area's first genuine kosher deli and titty bar. Come in and rock out with your locks out and check out our dancers. These girls are so nice, you'll plots, and they're all certified kosher. Maybe not the kind of girl you bring home to mother, but once you see Delia fold a dollar bill without using her hands, you won't care what mom thinks. Look, Bubby, you're in a strip club. That alone is enough to kill her. So live a little. Every Thursday, don't miss our buns and brisket buffet from noon to 6. Moishe's Knish and Strippers is closed on the Sabbath. Hey, we might be a little unorthodox, but we're not heathens.
Trisha Hart joins us now. She's outreach manager with Digital Third Coast. I've been looking forward to speaking to you, Trisha, because this is fascinating. These interesting facts come out of what's going on these days with our limitations, and you're in the business of looking at surveys and how people react to certain situations. And
yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
you know, and this is a, like you mentioned, this is a really interesting time. People are adapting to a totally new way of working and socializing and interacting with other people. So we worked with our client, Four Loko, an alcoholic beverage brand, just to see how people are compensating to satiate that social aspect that's usually occupied by people going to bars or restaurants, especially when you look at the millennial generation, Gen X and Gen Z, to see what they're really up to right now.
Yeah. Tell me about some of the results that you got. They're fascinating.
So we wanted to find out about this kind of emerging trend of virtual happy hours. You know, you're working from home now. People oftentimes on Fridays, especially in the summer months, they have shorter work days. They're going to happy hours. And we found that happy hours are turning into kind of a split. Some people are opting for virtual happy hours with their friends, and some are opting for virtual happy hours with their coworkers. But we found that just over half of the people we surveyed, 55%, say that during this quarantine social distancing era, this is something they've tried out. And it's something that I think a lot of people are adjusting to well.
Yeah. Yeah, just because you're not with these people physically doesn't mean that you mentally have dismissed them. And yeah, I think I guess it gets into the category of trying to be as normal as possible and staying mentally healthy.
Right. And, you know, thanks to technology, people have FaceTime, they have Zoom, they have cameras. So you're not totally disconnected. You're seeing the faces. And these are not short happy hours. People we found are spending about an hour on these virtual happy hours with their friends and over a half hour when they're socializing with their coworkers this way.
Makes sense to me. You know, all of this makes me feel normal because because I was saying to myself, like just about a week ago, I'm drinking more than I think I used to. And then I'm realizing, no, I'm not. I'm just doing it in a different place.
It feels different, and you're not alone there. About 4 out of 10, 41% of people say that they feel like they're drinking more during quarantine. Yeah. And maybe it's a perception thing. They're not used to drinking with any regularity at their homes. They are attribute that to going out, but you're not alone there.
Yeah. What else did the survey find?
So one of the things we wanted to find out, and if anyone's been on a virtual happy hour or even a conference call with colleagues, what people's preferences are becoming. It doesn't take long for people to get used to something new, but it's pretty quick to weed out. So one of the things we wanted to know was what makes an ideal virtual party? Obviously, the nature of being on a screen is different. It's hard to talk over one another. So some people are having massive Zoom virtual hours, and some people are keeping it small with friends. And it turns out most people prefer about six people as the maximum number in their happy hour. And I think that kind of achieves a balance. You can hear everyone. You can see everyone.
Yeah.
Because that is one of the limitations. You're not at a social situation where you can kind of veer off and have a one-on-one talk. Everyone is involved in one conversation.
How many squares were they in the Brady Bunch opening?
I think nine.
I think nine.
That sounds right.
Yeah, I kind of liken this to the Zoom thing. And I'm figuring, like, it shouldn't be any more than the Brady Bunch opening.
So. Right. If you have to scroll to different screens,
yes,
there's probably too many people.
That's funny. You're in the business of doing this all the time, which is interesting.
Yeah, you know, we, our agency helps different clients kind of do pulse readings on just their general sector. So for Four Loko, we wanted to see what people are doing to adapt to drinking in different situations, how they're doing happy hours in different situations. But we work with different clients to just kind of tap into those veins. How is the real estate market changing? How are people's cleaning habits changing, their self-care habits?
Are people still showering?
You know, I think we did help one of our clients put together a study that found that people are showering less often.
Yeah, yeah, I kind of
get
that.
Which is not surprising. No, we actually, we asked people with this virtual happy hour survey, Four Loko wanted to know, are people even dressing up anymore?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you dress up to go out on a Friday night.
Right.
No, they're not.
They're not.
78% of people say they come as they are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's been society for the past decade, though.
That's true. It is increasingly more casual.
Yeah, it's kind of getting ridiculous. Anyway, this is fascinating stuff. And companies need this information, don't they? I mean, it's crucial to them.
Right, and I think it was interesting to see, especially when we broke down, you know, how people are just feeling about this sentiment-wise. I know virtual happy hours for businesses have become kind of a way to keep morale up or try to keep culture connected in a time where, you know, you can't be person to person. But it seems like a lot of Americans are pretty comfortable with this now. They understand that this is how they're going to interact with people. You know, I think when it goes to some of the, as you mentioned, people are getting more casual. We found that some people are a little self-conscious about their coworkers seeing the inside of their homes.
Interesting.
Which was interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously this work from home situation was thrust on some people pretty quickly, and they may not have the best workspaces.
Yeah.
So people are either opting for turning off their cameras altogether, or they're using a custom background. They work in a more casual environment and they're opting to just throw something up behind them.
I think that's great because that shows sensitivity to other people, and I like that. I kind of like that, to be honest with you. Not a bad deal. Wow, that's crazy. What about are people looking forward to socializing again, or are they getting comfortable here?
I think people are getting comfortable here. It's hard to tell the longer that people are social distancing, the kind of natural urge to want to go out, want to be with people. But we were surprised pleasantly to see that About 39% of people said that they did plan to continue virtual happy hours even after this whole pandemic ends. I think for some people that either are full-time remote employees anyway, or people that maybe are trying to save money by not going out, this ease of connecting with people and a group of people is something that may carry over.
I think so too. I think people are, I think companies are realizing that a lot of these positions can be performed out of one's home where they didn't really think of that before. And that could be, you know, possible. How do I get more information about all of this and what you do?
So if you're interested in learning more about the survey on how Americans are socializing during quarantine, you can head to Four Loko's website. It's fourloko.com/virtual-happyhour-statistics.
Okay.
Or just Google that. It'll pop up easily. There's a lot more information and even some breakdowns on what different industries and different sectors are really adapting to this and which ones haven't gotten on the virtual happy hour train yet.
Very interesting. I thank you so much for the information. One more time, that website?
fourloko.com/virtual-happy-hour-statistics.
Wonderful. Tricia, it's been fascinating. Thank you so much for your time with us today. Well, that was interesting. I think it was. And that's all that counts. Have yourselves a wonderful weekend. Make the best of everything that you can, and things will be fine. I'll be back again on Monday with a brand new show. Until then, I wish you peace.